This morning, if you would please take your Bible and open to the book of Acts, chapter 26. The book of Acts, chapter 26. This morning, I'm going to read the entire chapter. Just so that you're aware, there's 32 verses here. I'm going to read the entire chapter. This is the record of the Apostle Paul speaking before King Agrippa, basically giving King Agrippa his testimony of his salvation. When I get all through the whole chapter, we're going to come back and focus in on verse 18. And the entire message today will focus in on verse 18 of chapter 26 in the book of Acts. All right? The Bible says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that, after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Well, I apologize for the fact that it was a rather lengthy passage that I read, but I wanted you to get the context of what's happening here with the Apostle Paul before King Agrippa and another gentleman by the name of Festus and some others, and how he gives his testimony of his salvation. And we're going to concentrate this morning on verse number 18, where Jesus is explaining to the Apostle Paul, and then Paul's explaining to Agrippa and the others what Jesus had said to him, and that is that he's supposed to go everywhere preaching this message of Jesus Christ and forgiveness and how they can have eternal life. And you notice again verse number 18, and then I'll pray, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Our title this morning comes from the last few words in that verse, by faith in me. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this record in your word. Lord, I pray that each one of us might listen very carefully today and realize, first of all, for ourselves, that there is a salvation and forgiveness of sins and eternity in heaven that's awaiting us if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We also want everyone who's listening today to make sure that they're saved, and if not, to realize that it's a free gift that they could have even today before they leave if they would just receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Help us also, Lord, to understand how simple it would be to explain the way of salvation to a friend or a relative who might be willing to listen. All the things we need are found in this verse. So help us today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 18 of this chapter, the Apostle Paul speaks about some of the wonderful benefits of possessing a personal relationship with God by way of salvation. God's free gift of salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, brings with it many free benefits, and several of those benefits are listed in this one verse. Please notice as we look at the verse together today, some of the very simple things that are included here. And notice it starts out in verse number 18 with this, to open their eyes. What a wonderful blessing that is, to open their eyes. We all were born in sin. Myself and every one of us in this room, we were all born in sin. And because that is true, we were all born with our eyes closed. It's very unique when you consider the fact that when babies are born physically, they also are born with their eyes closed. That's the normal. And it wasn't long before their eyes begin to open, and that's not long before they can see and recognize things and so forth. But we were all born with our eyes closed. I'm speaking now spiritually. Because we're born in sin. And our spiritual eyes are closed, and we don't see and we don't understand spiritual things because we're born in sin. We're not able to see and understand spiritual things at all. Just think about that. how silly it is for me to talk to someone about spiritual things who's not saved. They're not going to be able to understand it. They can't see it because their eyes are closed. Somehow they have to have their eyes opened. We are not able to understand even the simplest of spiritual truths because we are still in sin and we are not saved. Thankfully, because of salvation, our eyes are opened. And then we can see and then we can understand spiritual things. Our eyes being opened allows us to be able to see and understand the very basic spiritual things that God has included in His Word. From the moment of salvation and forward, we will spend the rest of our time learning spiritual things. Just think, from the moment of salvation forward, we will continually be learning spiritual things. It's true of you, it's true of me. Every one of us will go through the exact same thing. The Bible tells us, and just if you would, just listen to this, please. I'll read it for you. The Bible says this: "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man," that's the one who's not yet saved, that's the one who's still in his sin, "but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual," this is the man who's gotten saved, "but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and following. It reminds us that when we were lost, when we were unsaved, when we were still in our sin, our spiritual eyes were closed. We couldn't see and understand spiritual things. But now that we are saved, our eyes are open, and now we do see and understand spiritual things. Listen, friend. There was a day when I was given a Bible that was one of the modern translations in hopes that I might be able to understand God's Word. And I don't mind telling you, I still couldn't understand God's Word. You know why? I wasn't saved. I didn't know the Lord as my Savior. I had gone through catechism classes. I had gone through my first confirmation. I had one of those pretty little white robes that they wear. I had that on. In fact, my mom and dad had a picture of that for many, many years. I don't know where the picture is today, but anyway, I remember seeing it. And it was a Bible about this size, and it was, at the time, I know I was 12 or 13 years of age. It was, at that time, the newest version that you could get that I remember was the Revised Standard Version. And I was given that as a gift. And I remember thinking to myself, now I'll be able to understand it. And so I would read some of it, and I couldn't make heads or tails out of it at all. It didn't matter. Listen, it didn't matter that it was a new, you know, better to understand, easier to read kind of a thing. It didn't matter because I didn't know the Lord as my personal Savior. And it wasn't until several years later that, again, I would be 12 or 13 at that time, and it would be 6 or so years later at 19 years of age when I got saved, and started reading, this time not the Revised Standard Version, but the King James Version of the Bible. I began reading God's Word, and you know what? Lo and behold, it made sense. I could understand it. It spoke to my heart. What was the difference? Listen, my eyes were opened. My eyes were opened. See, God had saved me and opened my eyes. And now I could see and understand spiritual things. Before that time, couldn't understand of it. Couldn't make heads or tails of it. Didn't matter if you had a newer, easier to read, easier to understand version or not. That didn't matter. I didn't know the Lord as my Savior. And so I couldn't understand God's Word. And my eyes were closed. Think about this physically, on physical terms. If my eyes were closed physically, could I see you? No, of course not. Could I see my notes? No, of course not. Could I see my Bible? No, of course not. Why? My eyes are closed. My eyes are closed. Oh, but if I open my eyes, I can see you, I can see my notes, I can see my Bible. What a difference just opening the eyes means in a person's life. The same thing is true spiritually. We need our eyes opened by way of salvation. And if you're here today and you don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not going to understand spiritual things because your eyes are still closed. You need your eyes opened. This is one of the things that Jesus told the Apostle Paul to go out and preach to the world so that eyes would be opened so that they could see and understand spiritual things. Notice the verse again. This is Acts chapter 26, verse 18. To open their eyes and, here's a second thing, to turn them from darkness to light. Turn them from darkness to light. In the first point, what we saw was that we were born in sin and our eyes are closed. Now you know this in the physical sense, right? If your eyes are closed physically, not only can you not see, but you're in the dark. You're in the dark. Somehow you got to get those eyes opened so that you can walk in the light. Naturally, with our eyes closed, we're living in the dark. It's dangerous to walk. It's dangerous to drive. Amen. You know, sometimes just driving along, my wife and I'll say, you know what, let's pray about that. And she'll remind me, don't close your eyes. I say, I won't. I'll keep them wide open. I'll just pray with my eyes wide open. You don't want to drive with your eyes closed. Of course, you don't want to walk that way either. But it makes sense, doesn't it? You're in the dark. You can't see. You're in the dark. All right? In the light, of course, you can see, but in the dark, you can't see. In the Bible, darkness usually is a picture of the ways of sinfulness and Satan, while walking in the light usually is a picture of the way of righteousness and God. So, if our eyes are closed because we're born in sin, that means we're also in the darkness. And because we're in the darkness, that means we're not living in righteousness and for the Lord. We're still in the darkness. Salvation not only opens our eyes, but salvation also turns us from darkness to light. There was a time, of course, when every one of us were walking in the darkness. Amen. I'm so glad I can stand up here and say I'm not walking in the darkness. Yes, sir. I'm walking in the light. And if you know Christ as your Savior, you're walking in the light. Listen. It's not because you're a Baptist. It's because you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. You know, being a Baptist, that's just, you know, something on the side that we do. But I'm a born-again Christian, and that's why I'm walking in the light. Not because I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist who happens to be walking in the light. And I'm walking in the light because of salvation. Salvation has not only opened my eyes, but allows me to walk in the light. It is true that we used to walk in darkness, but it's also true that because of salvation, we now walk in the light. Let me read you another passage. Just here, I want to ask you to turn, but just if you would listen and hear what these verses say from the book of 1 John. If you would just listen as I find it for you, and then I'll read it for you. The Bible says this. This then is the message which we heard of him that we declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Did you notice that last verse says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Many years ago, let me just ask you this before I tell you this story. How many of you remember a man by the name of John R. Rice? Okay, there's some hands that went up. Good. How many of you remember a man by the name of Curtis Hudson? Okay, some of you raised your hand for that too. Good. Curtis Hudson, for a number of years, was a pastor in Atlanta, Georgia, and pastored a large church while he was there. All right? He became friends with John R. Rice. And John R. Rice was getting up in years and decided he was going to turn over the editorship of the Sword of the Lord, a Christian newspaper. He had that for many years. He was going to turn over the editorship of that paper to someone else. And he decided, I think by the Lord's leading, to ask Curtis Hudson if Curtis Hudson would take over as editor of the Sword of the Lord. And so he asked him to do it. And naturally, Brother Hudson prayed about that and decided, yep, that's what God wants me to do. And he became the editor of the Sword of the Lord. All right. Now, someone came to Curtis Hudson one day and said, how did you become so good friends with John R. Rice? So good, so close, so much fellowship and so forth together that he would ask you to take over the Sword of the Lord. And his answer was something like this. I was walking the path that God chose for me, and along that path I met up with John R. Rice, who was walking in the same path. And we became close friends and had fellowship for many years. And then one day he decided to ask me to take over as editor of the Sword of the Lord. That's exactly what that verse said. It's in 1 John, by the way, chapter 1, in verse number 5, 6, and 7. Let me read it for you one more time. It says this. If we walk in the light, I'll just read verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You understand, I hope, that the reason you and I have fellowship today is because we're both walking in the light. These men that are working on our building, as far as I can tell, they don't know the Lord as their Savior. I was standing out front with the owner of the company, and he was explaining to me about that wall and that project and whatnot like that. And not intending to, he cursed. And immediately he looked right at me. He said, I'm sorry. He said, I tell my men all the time, when you're on a job, especially at a church job, watch your language. And here I am swearing in your presence. You know, I just condemned him to hell right there. No, I didn't do that. I was gracious and I was kind. And I said, you know, I'm not worried about that. I'm glad for all the work that you're doing and so forth. By the way, I want to invite you to come to church, though. And I did invite him to come to church again. And he said he would. We'll see if that ever comes to pass. But as I'm here in the building and they're out there working, I can hear the music that they're playing, and I can hear the words that they're saying, and I just am pretty sure that they don't know the Lord as their Savior. I'm pretty sure. You say, why are you mentioning that? Because we can only have a very surface level kind of relationship or fellowship because they don't know the same master that I know, and I don't serve their master anymore either. So we don't have the quote-unquote fellowship that you and I have because we're walking in the light. Those men are walking in the darkness still. And that's why there's such a difference between us. One of the things that happens, of course, in salvation is that, number one, our eyes are opened. And because our eyes are open, we start walking in the light. And we're not any longer walking in the darkness. Look at the verse again, would you? Acts chapter 26, verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Here's the third thing. And from the power of Satan unto God. Turn them from the power of Satan unto God. There's only two masters in the world. There's only two masters in the world. There's God, and then there's Satan. There's only two. Those who are living in the darkness are following the ways of Satan. Those who are walking in the light, living in the light, they're following the ways of God. When God gives us salvation, one of the wonderful things that takes place is that we are released from Satan's power, and now we come under the power of God.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes, you know this is true, sometimes people who are saved blame the devil for what happens in their life. Sometimes they blame the devil for the things they do or say. But the truth is, after you get saved, after your eyes are opened, after you're now walking in the light, not the darkness, after now you've been released from the power of Satan unto God, you can't blame the devil anymore, friend. The choice is yours. It's like I mentioned this morning in the adult Sunday school class. When things go wrong, I'm honest and admitting to you that sometimes bad words will come to mind. But here's the difference. I don't have to say them anymore. And with God's help and God's power, I don't say them anymore. That's not to my credit. That's to my Heavenly Father's credit. He's changed my words. He's changed my language. He's changed my speech. He's changed a lot of things about me, including attitudes and, you know, anger issues and things like that. Why? Because you've been released from the power of Satan unto the power of God. With the power of God present to help us, we are able to resist the influences of Satan and at the same time follow the influences of God. Make no mistake, Satan will not stop trying to bring you under his power again. He will not stop. One of the things I've learned about the devil, and probably you have too, the guy is really good at what he does, and he's relentless. Wow. He is relentless. He might bother you and me and everybody else in this room all at the same time. He's good at what he does. And he never quits. Now, there's coming a day when he'll have to quit. Jesus will make sure of that. But for now, make no mistake, he's not going to give up trying to influence you to follow his ways rather than God's ways. But you don't have to submit to that because of the power of God in your life. James 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." James 4, 7. So, Acts chapter 26, verse number 18 says, "To open their eyes," that's number one, "and to turn them from darkness to light," that's number two, "and to turn them from the power of Satan unto God," that was number three. And then the fourth thing is this, "that they may receive forgiveness of sins." That they may receive forgiveness of sins. Now, I know you don't know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. All right, here it comes. How many sins have you committed in your lifetime? I know there's some of you thinking, "Oh, my word." Yeah, it's a lot. You understand, don't you, that even if it was one per day, in a year, that's 365. Unless it's a leap year, that's 366. And every few years, we have one of those, right? And then, like me, I'm 72 years old, so multiply 365 by 72. That's just if there's one per day. I don't know about you, but I think we need forgiveness. How about you? Wow! And that's one of the things that Paul was sent out to tell people. Look, there's forgiveness of sins. How can I have that? By knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. In that very first point, it was mentioned that we were all born in sin and that we sin every day. And by the way, we do. And those sins, of course, add up over a lifetime. Think about how many sins you commit in a lifetime. Again, if there's only one per day, by the way, there's a pretty good chance that we do it more than once a day. I mean, looking at this audience, I'm pretty sure of that. Don't forget the smile. By the way, looking up this way, you're pretty sure of it too, I know. But those sins, they continue to mount up day after day after day after day. And that's why we need forgiveness from the Lord. The good news is that God's free gift of salvation provides forgiveness, listen, for all of your sins. Just think about that. Salvation provides a way for you and me to have forgiveness for all of our sins. I hear that and I say, sign me up for that. I want that. I need that. The forgiveness that God offers includes anything and everything you've ever done. Wow. What a wonderful Savior. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says it this way, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I don't know about you, but I think this is a wonderful offer. In salvation, as strange as it seems, I give God my sin, he gives me his forgiveness. Now the slate's been wiped clean, friend. Now when I stand before God one day, there's nothing written there. It's amazing. It's amazing that God would offer that to us. But he does, because of salvation. So notice the verse again. Verse 18 of chapter 26 of the book of Acts. To open their eyes, that's number one. And to turn them from darkness to light, that's number two. And from the power of Satan unto God, that's number three. That they may receive forgiveness of sins, that's number four. And here's the fifth and last one. And inheritance among them which are sanctified. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that God is willing to take my sins? Well, let's back up. God's willing to open my eyes. He's willing to turn me from darkness to light. He's willing to turn me from the power of Satan unto God. He's willing to give me forgiveness of sins. And he's going to give me an inheritance? That is what the verse says, isn't it? Along with the opening of my eyes, being turned from darkness to light, being turned from the power of Satan unto God, being given the forgiveness of sins, I also have the promise, the added benefit, of receiving an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Would you just think with me just for a minute? Not only have we been given all these special benefits and blessings, but we've also been given a very special inheritance. And by the way, according to the Word of God, it can never be taken from you. It can never be taken from you. While we deserve judgment and punishment, God has decided to forgive us, to make us his child, and also reward us with an inheritance. We don't deserve it, do we? If we got what we deserved, we would split hell wide open today if we got what we deserved. But God, in his mercy and in his grace, just to be a blessing to us as his children, because we've accepted his son as our Savior, he's willing to give us a very special inheritance. Listen, far, far better than anything you've ever imagined. Say, how do you know that? Well, I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Just think what that says. By the way, it's Old Testament and New Testament, which is why 1 Corinthians 2, 9 says, but as it is written, he's quoting from the Old Testament record. But as it is written, I have not seen, so it's nothing you've ever seen before, nor ear heard, it's nothing you've heard of before, neither have entered into the heart of man, you've never even, you know, imagined this, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I have an idea that when we get to heaven and we see our inheritance, it's going to be far, far greater than anything ever. Anything ever. That's why I say often, folks that are already there, They wouldn't come back even if they could. I mean, they'd be silly to do that, wouldn't they? How beautiful heaven must be. Notice again, if you would, this verse. We're almost done. God told Paul to go out and deliver this message that they could be delivered from their sins and their, the end result of their sins, which is hell. They could be delivered from all that. Paul was to go out and give this message, and it would, verse 18, open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified. But then notice this. Here's how it all takes place. By faith that is in me. Please notice it does not say by joining the Baptist church. Or by joining Catholic, Methodist, Lutheran. Put a name in there. I don't care. By turning over a new leaf. By giving a bunch of money. By putting on a new suit. By getting a new hairdo. Don't say any of that. How do we receive all these great benefits? By faith that is in me. We serve a wonderful God. There's not a one of us who deserve what I talked about today. We deserve judgment. We deserve punishment. But we don't deserve all these wonderful things that are described in this verse. And it's all because we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you've already done that, you should rejoice. You should be so thankful. Amen. If you've not done that, you should do that today. Would you stand with me, please? Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's looking. We don't want to embarrass anyone. By faith that is in me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful verse. In fact, this whole chapter where Paul gives his testimony before Agrippa and Festus and others. And I'm somewhat saddened when I read near the end of the chapter where Paul says to Agrippa quite plainly, "You believe all this, don't you?" And Agrippa's response is, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Lord, there's so many who have heard a message similar to this that would probably say, just like Agrippa, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." The sad thing is, almost is not good enough. They must take that step of faith and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If they will, so many wonderful things are waiting. But if they wait, if they put it off, if they procrastinate, it's still not theirs. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to be saved, help them to get saved. And anyone ever listening to this message, please help them to trust Jesus as their personal Savior. And those who are already saved, may we rejoice and be thankful for all that you've given us, simply because we have placed our faith in thee. Bless this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.